All right then, our next public hearing is change of zone number 1751 Peninsula at Long Neck LLC.
This is actually an ordinance to modify condition number 10C imposed on ordinance number 2180 for change of zone number 1697. The application of Peninsula at Long Neck LLC for the Peninsula, a MRRPC, medium density residential district, residential plan community, requesting to extend the time to construct and open for use the golf clubhouse facility. A 911 address is not available for that location since there's no construction. The tax map ID is District 234, map 30, parcel number one and others. I would advise the, for the benefit of the commission, I did receive, I think you already, oh, you already have a copy of it, excuse me. The applicant did not submit an exhibit booklet with this application, but did provide a comparison of the current condition number 10C and the applicant's proposed amended condition number 10C, and as follows. The current condition, and I quote, construction of the clubhouse shall commence no later than 3 years from the date the Sussex County Council approves change of zone number 1697, with construction to be completed 12 months thereafter. A bond, cash bond, or letter of credit shall be provided to Sussex County in the amount of 125% of the cost of completion of the clubhouse within 60 days of the date that Sussex County Council approves change of zone number 1697. The proposed condition reads, and I quote, construction of the clubhouse shall commence no later than October 1st, 2015, with construction to be completed 12 months thereafter. A bond, cash bond, or letter of credit shall be provided to Sussex County in the amount of 125% of the cost of construction of the clubhouse within 60 days of the date that Sussex County Council approves change of zone number 1697. A copy of the minutes of Sussex County Council meeting for March 22nd, 2011, approving change of zone number 1697. A copy of the irrevocable letter of credit and extension from Park Sterling Bank of Charlotte, North Carolina, and a copy of the sheriff's deed to Redis Peninsula Millsboro LLC, a wholly owned subsidiary of Wells Fargo Bank, as recorded, was provided to the commission previously. For the record, the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments on May 28th of 2014 in the form of a memorandum and references that the project is located in the north, or excuse me, the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District, that wastewater capacity is available for the project, that Ordinance 38 construction is not required, that the current system connection charge rate is $3,795 per EDU, equivalent dwelling unit, that conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study will be required, that the proposal is to modify condition number 10 as set forth in change of zone 1697 by requesting an additional time extension for the commencement of the clubhouse, that the approval of a time extension will not have a significant impact on the source system, and the department, being the County Engineering Department, does not object to the proposal, and that a concept plan is therefore not required. Also advise that the Sussex Conservation District provided comments on June 9, 2014 in the form of a memorandum which references that there are three soil types on the site location, that the applicants will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation after construction, that no storm flood hazards are affected, that it may be possible that off-site drainage improvements will be necessary, that on-site drainage improvements will be necessary, and that no tax ditches are affected. For the benefit of the record and for the commission's awareness, we sent out 602 mailings for this application, and to date, as of 4:30 today, we did receive 18 mail returns from those 602 mailings. I also advise that we received a note on one mailing stating that we need to hold off on the clubhouse until we see what the needs will be and until we have the resources to pay for it. That if constructed now, the rise in dues would be prohibitive for some owners, and that note was signed by Ronald Weiner. Also advised the commission today, this afternoon, we received a packet of comments and photographs through email from John G., chairman of the Peninsula Homeowners Action Committee, also referred to as PHAC, and which provided a short history of the actions taken about the proposed clubhouse, emphasizing that the new owner developer individually and not the club members will own the clubhouse when it is finally built, and recommending that the commission should recommend approval of the 18-month extension as requested by Wells Fargo and Redis, that the PHAC reserves the right to request that the commission and the council condition such approval upon Wells Fargo and Redis providing sufficient security to ensure the construction of this long overdue facility as it was envisioned when this master plan community was first authorized, and in the event that the PHAC are unable to reach a satisfactory agreement with Wells Fargo. For the benefit of the commission, they were just received today. I will pass out copies to the commission and staff. And I don't know if Mr. Fuqua, being representing the applicant, I have a copy for you also, sir. I think that's everything.
All right, sir. We thank you, Mr. Fuqua.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is James Fuqua. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown. I represent the applicant. At the time that this was filed, it was filed by Landtech Receiver Services, LLC, who was the receiver for Peninsula Long Neck, LLC. The now owner, current owner of the Peninsula is Redis Peninsula Millsboro, LLC, which is a subsidiary of Wells Fargo Bank, and I'll explain that. With me, seated behind me, is Dan Bartok. He's with Wells Fargo. The small exhibit packet that was submitted, Mr. Lank referred to, and I'll be referring to that in my presentation. Our application, which I'm going to try to keep fairly simple, is to amend condition number 10C of the original RPC approval as amended to provide the construction of the community clubhouse commenced by October 1st of 2015 and be completed within a 12-month period. Exhibit A, as Mr. Lank stated, is the current 10C, and below that is the proposed condition that would result in the October 1st construction date. As you're aware from your history with this development, the Peninsula RPC was approved in November of 2002. It was approved as a 1,404-unit mixed residential development. Construction did commence. The overwhelming majority of the recreational amenities were completed, and I think you're all familiar with that. That includes a championship golf course, swimming pools, tennis courts, basketball court, fitness center, exercise rooms, and many other things, including trails and a boardwalk and things of that nature. All of those things were completed with the exception of a nature center and a clubhouse. In late 2010, there was an application filed with the county to extend the time for construction of the nature center and the clubhouse. And on March 22nd of 2011, County Council approved a modification of Condition 10. And Exhibit B are the minutes from that County Council meeting. There were two main changes that were done by the County Council. The first change was 10B, and what that said was that the Nature Center was to be constructed and open for use by September 30th, 2011. And the Nature Center was built and was open for use by that date. The Nature Center is located on Lingo Creek. It costs approximately $350,000. It has a screen porch, a seating area, restrooms, and a deck that ties into the boardwalk system. The other change approved by County Council was C, which is the section before you tonight. The second part of C required a letter of credit to the county in the amount of 125% of the estimated cost of the clubhouse construction. That was provided. Exhibit C is a copy of the irrevocable letter of credit that was issued by Park Sterling Bank in the amount of $1,375,000. And attached to that is confirmation that that letter of credit is still currently valid and remains valid through March 23rd, 2015. The other part of the amendment that the County Council approved, which is the first part of C, is that construction of the clubhouse would start within 3 years of when they approved that, which was March 22nd, 2011. So that condition stated that construction of the clubhouse would start in effect by March 22nd, 2014. This application was filed on March 7th, 2014, requesting this extension, as I've already stated, to start this no later than October 1st, or basically approximately 14 months from now. Now, I can go into detail regarding what has occurred over the past 3 years, but I'm going to present it to you in summary form, and if you have any questions, you can ask me, and I can go into more detail. But as you know, there was a receiver appointed for the original developer, and basically the receiver was on behalf of Wells Fargo, who was the lender in regards to the development. Foreclosure proceedings were instituted by Wells Fargo. They were pursued in originally the Court of Chancery, and that was subsequently transferred to the Superior Court. 3 years ago, it was anticipated that the foreclosure sale would occur, and the bank would be in a position to sell the development to a new developer, you know, within a reasonable period of time. That process, as it often does, bogged down. There was litigation that arose. It took much more time than anticipated. However, it has now been concluded, and as a result of the conclusion of that those matters, Reedus Peninsula Millsboro LLC, which, as I said, is a wholly owned subsidiary of Wells Fargo Bank, is now the owner of the peninsula, and that was confirmed by an order of Judge Graves of the Superior Court, confirming the foreclosure sale, and there was also a declaratory judgment action involved. And to make a long story short, the Exhibit D attached to that packet, you will see, is a deed from the sheriff to the Reedus entity, and that was recorded on May 12th of 2014. So this has just happened within the last month. Now, it's been the bank's objective and their goal to find a buyer developer for the peninsula. Basically, that developer would take over and manage the completion of the development, and that would include the design and the construction of the clubhouse that we're talking about tonight. Now, as I said, as of May 12th, Wells Fargo, through Reedus, is the record owner of Peninsula. They are actively marketing the development. What they will do is identify a short list of potential purchasers that have the experience and the financial ability to take over and to complete the development, and they do expect to complete that sales later this year. Whoever that purchaser is, they will be aware of the responsibility and obligation to construct the clubhouse, and it is the intention that the final design of the clubhouse will include the input of the existing peninsula owners, who will be the ultimate users of the facility. Now, throughout this process, both the receiver and Wells Fargo have had ongoing discussions with the owners. It is my understanding that the owners do support our request for this extension to begin construction until October 1st of next year. I know that there are owners present tonight, and obviously they will speak if that's what they wish to do. Also, John G. Will be speaking, I believe, on behalf of a homeowners organization, so I will defer to him as to any explanation or position he wants to state for the owners. The existing facilities at the peninsula I think, as you are aware, are very substantial. They're more than adequate to serve the current homeowners and guests. One other thing that has been done, there's the small restaurant, which is called the Terrace Grill, that has been expanded within the last 3 years to increase the seating and also to create a separate bar area and lounge area and also an expanded kitchen area. So, again, those facilities have been adjusted to take care of some of the additional needs there. The time extension to begin the clubhouse construction, we believe, will permit the construction to be undertaken by the new developer of Peninsula, and that is ultimately the person who is going to be responsible for the Peninsula and have the most at stake in seeing the development completed, along with the owners, of course. By having the new developer actually build this facility, we believe it benefits all of the parties involved, and it's in the best interest of the new developer, it's in the best interest of the bank, and it's in the best interest of the homeowners. As I said, the extension is only until the end of the next summer season, October 1st, 2015. We felt that it would be more appropriate to begin construction after the summer season rather than the middle of July or August. Per the existing condition, the letter of credit would have to remain in effect until the facility is completed. Again, we recommend request your recommendation of approval. I know we've been before you with this before. Obviously, there were some difficult times, and this was a very complicated matter. But we think with this additional extension, it'll be in everyone's best interest. And I'd be happy to try to answer any questions now or perhaps after anyone else who wants to speak could speak, because you might want to hear from the owners first.
Okay, then. We'll check with the commission now, see if anyone has any questions at this time. And, of course, we'll reserve the right to ask some after we take public testimony. So we'll start with my friend Mr. Johnson here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Fuquay, as I understand it, and all this that's being presented to us, is that what you're requesting now is basically an extension of a previously granted extension?
Yes.
And what kind of assurance or guarantee can be provided to the commission and to the county council, and more importantly to the residents of the peninsula, that this clubhouse will in fact be built?
Well, the question came up before when the extension was granted back in 2011, and as part of that approval, the bank was required to place the letter of credit for the $1,375,000. That is a letter of credit to the county that if the construction does not take place as required, that the county could call that letter of credit. That's the financial security for it. And again, I don't want to speak for the owners, but the bank has been working in good faith and I think in a cooperative manner with the owners. And it's certainly the bank's intention to find a responsible developer to do this. Whoever that developer is, it's in their best interest to do it properly so that it's an attractive asset that will draw more people to the peninsula. And the owners, I think, are, as I said, in favor of that process.
And what would happen now if this extension was not granted?
Theoretically, I guess the one scenario would be the county could say, if you don't start this within 30 days, we're going to call you a letter of credit, and you'll forfeit those funds. I don't know where it would go after that, because it would be the county's determination as to how to treat that.
Okay. And if the clubhouse was to be built, or if the commission and council should grant this extension, what kind of assurance or guarantee will there be to the residents of what this clubhouse is going to look like? And I say that because we've had other developers who have proposed one building or structure. Property gets built, and next thing you know, they got a shed instead of a clubhouse.
Yeah, and the part of the complication on this, of course, is that Redis, the current owner, and Wells Fargo are not developers. They're They were merely the lender on this project that, through the unfortunate financial conditions, ended up being the owner. So they're not the party to design this. That's not their business. That's why they want to have the developer come in, who would have those ideas, work with the current owners to come up with a facility that would serve the needs of the people and be adequate in size for the needs. Again, the peninsula is kind of unique because a lot of things that you might normally associate with a clubhouse basically exist in another form at the peninsula. So specifically what would be needed in this clubhouse, again, would be something for the developer and the owners to determine. But what assurance, again, it's something to be discussed, something to be negotiated with this unknown developer successor.
Because I know the commission, this commission has been upset on several occasions with other developers who had marketing material showing one thing, and then what's actually built winds up being something different. And I would suspect that the residents here, those folks that are residents of the peninsula, would feel the same, because their marketing materials when they bought this property showed a beautiful clubhouse, which has yet to be built. And as the materials that were presented to us this evening say, this goes back, what, 8 years ago?
Well, it goes back quite a ways. And without going into the details of all of that, there, in all marketing, there's certainly things marketed that are marketed with disclaimers in terms of this is a representative of something only, et cetera. And I think Mr. Lank and I had a conversation about this back at the time that the letter of credit was required. When you went back to the original plans that were submitted and everything, it was very lack of detail in terms of what the clubhouse was as far as what had been submitted to the county. So I know it was originally planned to be large in size, but there was never anything. It was never designed, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
So there was never a representation of how many square feet this facility might contain, or what actually might be contained within that facility?
I don't recall there being a specific square footage.
I can't without going back to the original file. If you went back to the original file, the locations was pretty specific, but
yeah, it was to be located up on the hill where the driving range was.
Okay. I have no further questions this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
If I could just follow up on that. If we don't know what specifically was going to be proposed or built, where did the 1-3 number come from?
That was an estimated cost to build the building that corresponded to, I think, what was shown on the plans. Is that what you recall, Lance?
That's right. I think so.
And So the 1-3 is locked into a letter of credit, and
yes,
then we get a new buyer in the deal. Does the 1-3 get replaced by the new buyer's 1-3, or what happens?
Well, that'll be part of the price arrived at between Wells Fargo and the new buyer.
Do you see a letter of credit staying?
Oh yes, yes. That was made a condition now, so that would have to stay in place until the building, the clubhouse,
regardless
is built.
Regardless of who owns it.
Regardless
and
of
I
who
can
owns
answer
it.
That too, because we have that come up with county engineering on a variety of bonds or letters of credit that come in. I can tell you that the county's not going to release this letter of credit until it's built, or until, if there's a new developer in the scenario he's described, posts a new one. So this letter of credit is going to remain in effect unless one of those two things happen. And that's going to come from the county. We're going to make sure that it's always guaranteed that there's security for the completion of that construction.
Okay. And is there interest out there? Are you going to be able to find a buyer in 1 year, less than 1 year?
I'm told by Wells Fargo that, yes, there's a lot of interest, and they have very qualified buyers. They're very optimistic that this is going to move very fast.
Thank you. No further questions.
Okay.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since in your request,
change of zone for modification of this condition, we have a hearing and we make a recommendation to county council. Is that correct? There's another hearing on August the 5th where county council would or could or possibly not consider our recommendation. The condition 10C, did that originate here with the commission or was that?
You mean from the existing condition?
Yes.
The existing
condition that was adopted.
My recollection is I think the Planning Commission recommended 1 year extension.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the council granted a 3 year extension.
We would be placed in a position of modifying a condition that the consensus of the sitting members of this board didn't act on.
But you've always had the wisdom to be flexible and to see the facts as they change.
Understood, yeah. I'm trying to perceive the facts. And so the facts are that, as you're representing them then, are that the Wells Fargo is the lender, and they're not a developer.
Right, and Wells Fargo, in effect, through their subsidiary, is now the owner.
Right.
And but their involvement in this was that they lent a lot of money on this that mm-hmm. they had to foreclose on it to bring the property back and now to sell it to recoup what money they can recoup.
Which would be their field of expertise would be lending them money as opposed to developing.
Yes.
So
in fact, I think they're actually
them,
prohibited
if
from
if they make statements about abilities of developers, where is their expertise to speak for what a developer may or may not do?
You mean may not do in terms of like constructing this?
Performance, yes. If, as you said, that their expertise is lending money, not developing,
how do they
know what to carry
through? I mean, to answer your question, Wells Fargo couldn't make that successor do anything. All they can do is disclose to them that it's a requirement, that it's part of the conditions of approval, and that they're going to be in a major lawsuit with the county and with the homeowners if they don't do what they're legally required to do. So Wells Fargo, though, is in a position to be very familiar because of them being a national bank that deals all across the United States, being familiar with large development companies or developers who have the expertise and wherewithal to be able to take over a project like this.
All right. That's all I have at the present time. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Ross?
You said that you don't have a buyer, but there are buyers interested. Is that what I
heard? Wells Fargo's marketing it, as I said, they...
Prospects. They have prospects.
Well, they didn't own it until May 12th, so they couldn't market it until they owned it. And so it's just been roughly a 30-day period that this process has really started.
The Mr. G, in his letter that we just received this evening... the pages aren't numbered, but it states that when we approved the last extension, that the receiver for Wells Fargo estimated the cost of the clubhouse at $5 million.
Yeah, I read Mr. G's letter. I did have a copy of it. I don't recall the specifics as to what was done. The receiver, I think they were talking about what could be done. And I don't know if I can really answer that. I'm not sure.
I'd have to listen to the tape, but I know some numbers were discussed. I don't remember if that was the exact number or not, but that's what's in his letter. And that construction was supposed to commence by March 22nd of this year, which you have already stated. And they'd have 12 months to complete it. And now we're being asked to move that to October with 12 months to complete, which means it may not get done until October of 2016 if a buyer comes forward. And I guess if a buyer doesn't come forward, then I don't know, we'll be asked to do something yet again.
Well, I certainly think the lender recognizes that at some point in time there's not going to be any further extensions granted. Although, again, if we were here asking to do something contrary to the wishes of the homeowners, I think that would be one situation as compared to when we're here asking for an extension with the support of the homeowners. So,
but if the building is built and at least the homeowners have the use of the building and then it's sold, then the value of the sale increases proportionately to the building. It's no different than selling the liability or selling the building itself, right?
Except what is the building and what's going to be placed in it? How's it going to be designed and things of that nature?
Well, I guess the homeowners would have a lot more leverage to say that today than under a new owner. But, you know, to my point is not that. It's not, you know, that is a detail that's going to be resolved now or later under today's circumstances or under new circumstances. The point I'm trying to make is that whether you're selling a project with a $5 million liability or you're selling a project with a $5 million asset, the number is the same. So what does the extension do? It just denies the homeowners in that development the use of a facility.
Well, but the use of what facility? What's going to be built? What is physically going to be built?
You got a letter of credit to build something, and whatever the record shows, that fight's going to be enjoined at some point between the homeowners and whoever, whether it's the homeowners in Wells Fargo, the homeowners in Redo, or the homeowners and a new buyer. That argument's going to be enjoined at some point.
And I don't disagree. I don't disagree with your point.
To me, that's not part of the subject. But to me, that's immaterial because that argument's going to take place at one point or the other. That doesn't matter to me. What does matter to me is I just don't understand what the difference to the bank is of whether they're selling a $5 million liability or whether they're selling a $5 million asset.
Well, I just think it's more the practicality of the construction of the building, though. And I don't disagree with your point that the $5 million one way or the other is going to bounce out. But to design and build this building, again, the bank isn't a developer with the interest in the long-term future of the peninsula. They were just a lender that ended up taking an asset back. And again, it seems to be the consensus of all the parties that actually have an interest in it, the lender and the homeowners, that it's best for this new developer, whoever it is, to be the one to make these decisions and work with the homeowners. Again, the new developer may have other ideas in terms of what to do with this asset, this community center, to enhance sales, to enhance attraction to the development that a developer would have, as opposed to just a bank trying to basically get rid of an asset that they had to take back. So, I understand your point, but I think, the people with a real interest in this feel that it would be a better way to do it. But again, it's a modest extension. It's a little bit over a year, the end of next summer season. And it doesn't seem to be that big a reach.
Okay. I look forward to hearing this consensus.
Okay, then. Mr. Lang.
No questions.
Mr. Abbott.
No questions.
Counselor?
None, thanks.
Okay. Mr. Fuqua, I think the testimony of the folks here this evening is going to be very important. Reedus Peninsula Millsboro LLC is a wholly owned subsidiary of Wells Fargo Bank. Wells Fargo Bank's assets are $1.547 trillion we're talking about. We are not talking about a hardship in those terms. That being said, I'm very interested to hear what the folks have to say, because there is an argument to be made that now may not be the time to build this, and I can tell you that I'm probably going to be more swayed by that than anything else. And with that being said, we'll ask you to take a seat, which you've already done, and we'll see who's here that would like to testify. I guess for or against, would like to speak for or against. Anyone here that would like to speak for the change of zone 1751 Peninsula at Long Neck LLC? I understand that this is a little bit different. Usually we have four people who are for something and people who are against. If we have folks that just want to speak and you're not sure which one you are, that's okay. You can come either time. You don't have to declare a party in this in this particular election. So who would like to go first? Yes, sir. Come on up.
I drew the short straw. I apologize if I'm not. Can I pick up the mic? Okay.
Mr. Fuqua, would you pull that mic down a little bit?
You can hear me. That's fine. I don't need to have it down
Well, actually, we need to have it down because our recording device will not pick you up any other way, and we definitely want to.
Thank you.
There you go. It's lit up, so it's hearing you.
I see that. I am John G., who you have been reading from, and so since Mr. Robinson's already spoken about being redundant and Mr. Lank has already lifted most of the comments from the presentation that we sent in to you prior, let me first, and I do have some notes that I made, if you'd allow me maybe to address some of the issues that you brought up in addition to Mr. Fugler. I do represent the Homeowners Association. I should add that of the 620 homeowners there now, over 400 belong to our association, and they did that free will, so we are it is structured. It also is interesting to note, lifted off of my context that I gave you, when we met with you before, meaning the receiver for an extension, there were 425 homes in Peninsula, and roughly 3 years later, there's almost 50, there's 620 homes now finished with homeowners, and there's probably another 10 or 15 that have been built. So we've had a 50% increase in ownership since you last passed ordinance to extend the clubhouse bill. So I'd say it's been quite robust. Sometimes that gets lost, and I thought it should be mentioned to you. The PAC, which is the Peninsula Homeowners Action Committee, on behalf of the homeowners, and I'm reading from our summary rather than indulging you over the things you've already talked about, we informed the bank that they would agree to the bank's request for an 18-month extension as long as Wells Fargo and Redis agreed to require any purchaser of the property to carve out and set aside on a new separate escrow account sufficient funds for the construction of the clubhouse and other amenities. I think this goes to Mr. Johnson's question. We are actively working with Wells Fargo, and our sense is that we will be able to reach a solution that will satisfy the homeowners' concerns regarding the clubhouse. A majority of our homeowners have waited 6 to 8 years for this construction to begin. Collectively, we have invested well over $250 million, not million, billion dollars, that being over $250 million, in our homes in this community. The value of our properties has been depreciated by the repeated failures of the original developers and the receiver to comply with this county's ordinance and amendments to same by refusing to timely build the centerpiece of this community, which is a large gathering place with great vistas and top-grade amenities. If this extension is approved, we, the homeowners, are entitled to be assured that when the clubhouse is built by the new owner-developer, it will be substantial, of high quality, and commensurate with the values of the homes already built and to be built, which homes will surround that clubhouse. It must be emphasized that the new owner-developer individual and not the club members will own the clubhouse when it is finally built, much to your question, sir. This commission should recommend approval of the 18-month extension as requested by Wells Fargo and Redis. We reserve the right to request that this commission and the county council condition such approval upon Wells Fargo and Redis providing sufficient security to ensure the construction of this long overdue facility as was envisioned when this master plan community was first authorized in the event that we are unable to reach a satisfactory agreement with Wells Fargo. I should reemphasize again, at this point, we have met constantly with Wells Fargo and we've been very pleased with the conversations and where we think this is taking us. We are under confidentiality agreement, the board is, with Wells Fargo as they are marketing the property, so we have some deep knowledge of what's taking place, not certainly the potential buyers, but our sense of it is very positive. And we are, by the way, none of us are not aged business people, so we've been through these things before. I'm reminded when Mr. Johnson asked the question, he reminds me of one of our board members who asked me to mention to you tonight. His name is Dennis Silicato. Dennis sent me a note last night and said to make sure if it came up about what had happened with his lawsuit that he's on our board and he's fully in agreement with our recommendation before you tonight. And I think he speaks to many of the questions that Mr. Johnson raises.
Okay. Was your statement and your representation of the board, was this an action of the board? Was it voted on by the membership? I'm trying to get a sense of how many people you actually represent.
We represent those that have actually assigned themselves with us, almost 70% of the homeowners. Recognizing we are still seen as a recreational community, that is, we don't have full-time owners in all cases.
And your membership is aware that you are here testifying?
Absolutely.
They endorse it, to the best of your knowledge?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
That's fine.
Our homeowners, our board, is represented by the presidents of each of the associations that are a part of this community. Excuse me. So they fully represent those members of those particular communities, And then we have representatives of those communities that are not structured as subcommunities. So yes, they're all familiar. We have, in fact, what you have before you that I gave you this afternoon for inclusion has been sent to all homeowners as of yesterday afternoon. We've had, and so they are fully aware of our stance on this, as have been ongoing conversations when you live in any community.
Sure.
So we're a self-contained community that's very vibrant. I'd say that probably better than 20% of the homeowners there are full-time. I'd say another 20% of their 4 days out of seven a week. I'd say the migration of people to permanent status in the community is probably 1 to 2% a month growth to being full-time in the community versus being a second home. So we see we see this community is evolved, if you will, from a second home community to pretty much a standing community. So, and with the participation, I think, is quite vibrant in what we do. None of us stand aside, if you will. Additionally, I was making notes while you guys were asking questions. I thought since I was here and you were going to rely upon us, I should at least speak to those if it's all possible. And I think I've done that in what I've said so far. But if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those on behalf of the homeowners.
Morning.
To your knowledge, Mr. G, are there any members of your community that object to this application?
Well, there may be some here tonight, Mr. Ross. We'll find out.
We will, but I want to get his...
That have come forth to our homeowners board, and in particular to myself, I should add, on the Peninsula Community Association, which is controlled by the bank at this point. I'm the only homeowner. I've been on it since its inception under DeCarlo law that said that they had to have a homeowner representative. That's over 4 years. I sit on the advisory board of the club itself because it's owned by the developer, but as an advisory board, I've sat on that for the same period. To my knowledge, and it would be the one person, Mr. Lank, said so note in. We do have some people that are concerned about the cost of dues if and when we build a club, as I should say when. We all realize that we won't be assessed because we don't own the club, but we could be subject to conditions if we overbuilt. And we've always been concerned about not whether we built, but if we built too large a club as to sustain the membership. But Mr. Fucor did mention that we've expanded a grill, which is, you might say, is okay for the 620 people, families that are there now, but as this community doubles its size, there's no way in the world that the present footprint could support what we know will take place. And we do think it will be substantial. We think it will be appropriate for the community when it's built, and we have, our conversations have seemed to be inclusive of that thought. So,
you say in your letter that, and you repeated just now, that you wanted to reserve the right to request that the commission and county council condition such approval upon Wells Fargo and Redo providing sufficient security to ensure construction, et cetera. The letter of credit is $1.375 million. The number in your letter is $5 million. Is the $1.35375 adequate security?
I might ask you the same question because it was approved at one point, it was accepted at $1.375 million. The presentation that you have was our understanding from what I had received, and I did appear before council in 2010 on behalf of the homeowners in support of the extension of the ordinance at that time. And it was the presentation that you have was the original presentation given to council, in which it was indicated on page 8 and 9 of that backup presentation that the amount that a clubhouse would cost would be at least $5 million, which is where we lifted that number. You'll also notice in my presentation that we spoke of a major clubhouse designer who we retained, I might add, with Wells Fargo Bank participating in that. It's the McMahon Group out of St. Louis. They're presently are renovating Augusta. So their depth of knowledge, I'd say, is quite good if they're at that level of participation with the clubs. And they had done a presentation for us, or sent us a presentation, which indicated the size and scale of a clubhouse for communities such as ours, and we do have them as an expert witness. It's much higher. We're not sure that that's a good number either, but we do have a range between $5 million and up that the clubhouse probably would be. And at the point that we as a homeowners group are able to sit down with those potential buyers, we have that type of data that we would certainly describe to those potential new owners to see what their plan was, or would be as a business plan, what our plan is and how that would mesh, much to the questions that you've asked. we're quite strong in what we think we should have, that would be a basis for the community to continue to grow. And I can't imagine anybody would want to come in and spend the kind of money they need to spend to buy the peninsula and then to dummy down a clubhouse, because the property that's left is quite good. I mentioned that in the report. The front part of the peninsula is called the sanctuary. There's 77 lots. Seven have been sold. Those lots will aggregately probably price at an average of $500,000. They're selling higher than that now, which can be verified, I'm sure, by the asset manager, the Land Tech. So if you're going to sell the 70 lots, and if you're going to average $500,000 per lot, that's $35 million. You can't build a clubhouse for $1.3 million that's going to support those lots, because people are not going to buy them and go to, I don't know how you get 620 home for families in a $1.3 million building. Maybe y'all can do that. I don't know the math on that. I don't think you can. So it will have to be more substantial, because you'll have 1,000 families, and where are they going to go? And how are you going to sell that property if you don't have a substantial clubhouse to go along with that design? So we think it's self-fulfilling if it's going to be marketed appropriately, and we believe it is. So our relationship with the bank has made most of these numbers self-evident, and I would think it would beat anybody that's buying the place.
What was the McMahon's estimate of the square footage of the clubhouse?
It ranged from 25 to 38,000 square feet, if memory serves me correct. I do have the study with me.
Okay, $7.5 million.
I would say 8 to 19 million, yeah, depending on how you filled it or formed it.
So 10 million would catch it?
I'd say probably yes. One of the numbers that he proposed.
I have no idea where the 1.375 came from, but quite honestly, this is a new day.
Yes,
exactly. I'm not sure I care a whole lot right now, because we may come up with something different.
So, what
leverage do you have over the transaction, the sale, to ensure that you get that value of a clubhouse after the sale?
Well, we have assurances from the bank, and our conversations that, first of all, our board will have an opportunity to meet with the finalists. And as they meet with them, that we'll have an opportunity to review their business plans and to impose upon them our ideas of what we think would be appropriate given what their business plans are, and to help them with the decision of whether they want to be with us or they want to fight us. I don't think that there's any indication somebody wants to spend the kind of money they need to at the stage that this development is and want to get in a fight. I can't imagine that would be true. So that's one assurance. The second is, and I've mentioned this, is that the bank has indicated a willingness to want to carve out at the closing of the sale of the property an amount that's been indicated that would be allocated to, quote, not just a clubhouse, but amenities package is the way they prefer to call it, and we think that's probably a good way to do it. And that amount of money would be set aside in a separate escrow, which would be, in my way of thinking, like a construction draw, which would ensure that their vision of what they said they were going to do at closing would be ensured by that escrow call.
You had one of those before.
I'm sorry?
You had a escrow account before, and it was walked off with.
I should say we didn't have an escrow, and it was walked off with the $9.5 to $10 million. Then we have an escrow that is securing this bond that you now have before you for $1.375 million. And then we're talking about a separate escrow when the property changes hands that the bank would assure would be set aside, funded by the new purchaser with the specific agreement that it would fund the completion of any facilities to include a clubhouse that was indicated in that business plan. I think I've said that right.
Okay. I apologize to commissioners for beleaguering the conversation, but I must understand this, the risk-reward here. So as it stands now, if we called in the letter of credit, the Peninsula folks there would get $1.375 million and no clubhouse if everything went just boom, okay?
What actually would happen is we'd call a letter of credit, and on a letter of credit, we get the money, and Sussex County would build the clubhouse, but it would be a $1.3 million clubhouse.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
You end up with a value.
Yeah. So.
And the other option is to roll the dice and grant the extension and hope you can pull your magic with Wells Fargo and the buyer and get your $10 million clubhouse.
Well, I think we'll roll the dice together. I mean, that we rely upon the county. We know, I think, and if I can quote Dennis Silicato out of school, as Dennis says that he's mentioned any number of times, he said, you've got $1.375 million bonded and you're going to build me a clubhouse. I mean, that's... I sometimes hear him ringing that we are supported by you. Mr. Johnson said that in his questions. I think that you take on some of the risk that we feel because you a representative. We bought here knowing that you had approved this and that we could rely upon the county, in particular upon the Planning Commission, to have authorized the appropriate action to make sure we were taken care of. Part of the reason of being before you is to make sure that that's still appropriate, because I'm not an expert in this, I'm a homeowner. But we would like to believe that all the questions you're asking, which to this point are the same questions we've asked, means that we've got pretty good support to make sure this takes place. We also have the assurances of the bank and face-to-face conversations and negotiations that makes us feel like we're in the right direction. But at the end of the day, you're exactly right, there's no certainty other than taxes and debt.
Strikes me, though, that to take Mr. Ross's statement of question further, we can eliminate all the risk right now and not grant the extension and make them build it. I mean, that eliminates, I'm not suggesting we do that, but, I hear your point, but there's a flip side of that. I understand, too, though, that doesn't get anybody necessarily where they want to be.
Well, I think one of our overarching concerns always is that the public gets whatever the public was promised. And I think that's our concern. And we all know things that happen, and we can work this out. Fortunately, I think with the players at hand, it's not a financing issue. It's more timing. And I'm most concerned to hear from you and the other folks that are here, because that's our first concern is for the public. So,
to your point, Chairman Wheatley, if I might add, all of us are concerned when we didn't have an owner, we had a receiver, and it was in Chancery, and so we were uncertain. Our uncertainty was removed somewhat in May when we had a transfer of title, and now Wells Fargo owns it.
Right.
We recognize that that's an interim solution, but they are an owner, and that does make us feel a lot more secure. We believe that what we've seen and witnessed certainly from Wells Fargo's executives is that we don't have a sense in any form, and we mentioned that in our body of our talk to you, that we're at risk with that. We feel very comfortable with them to the extent that you can feel comfortable with any business entity, to your point. There's no question that the best solution is a developer that's going to own the property and with some longevity. And with that, it's going to have a vision, but you're right.
Well, Wells Fargo is going to own it for a while, I would suspect. And to that extent, they are in developer shoes at this point.
One final question, Mr. Chairman. I just noticed this. I, again, apologize for the extended conversation, but in 2008, the original developers asked for an extension at the 500 number, and you're at 620. And so it would seem that there should, if the clubhouse was okay with the community at 500 for dues or cost and operation at 500, then it certainly shouldn't be that big of an issue at 620.
If I recall, in the last extension, and Mr. Fuqua is probably better at this number than I am, but I think that number was raised to 750 in the last extension.
It was a date. It wasn't a number, it was a date.
It was a date.
Both.
Was it both?
I think it was date and year.
750 was the number.
Was the number 750?
Okay.
Okay. All right, sir, we thank you. Who else would like to speak? For or against or in the middle? Or just want to share something? Yes, sir. Come on over.
Hi, my name is John Shanafee. I am a resident at the Peninsula, have been for a little over 8 years. I just want to tell the commission that I support what John G. has just said, that what we think is going to happen, we're pretty sure is going to happen, is definitely in the best interest of all of the homeowners, despite the fact that there are some who are afraid their dues are going to go up. Well, their dues are going to go up. That's just the way it's going to be. So I just wanted to say something positive in support of John.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question, just so the record's clear on this? Because I think the question was asked to Mr. G, and perhaps you can answer it, that in your experience within the community, there's not been any opposition to the request for an extension. You haven't heard anybody complaining about the 12 to 18 month extension, but instead the opposition has been to building a clubhouse at all, more just they're concerned about the financial cost per homeowner.
I think,
which I think is maybe a separate issue than what we're talking about.
I think I've heard and not spoken directly with any particular person, although I know Dr. Wiener. The concern of, that people who have any negative ideas at all, the concern is doing it now. I think there's some people who are really afraid that, the club dues are gonna triple or quadruple or, whatever. And that's an unknown, but that fear is what's driving that.
Okay. Thanks. I just wanted to make sure I was clear on where that position was coming from.
Anyone else wish to speak? Yes, sir. Step right up.
Again, nothing new. I just wanted to clarify one thing. Under the declaration of restrictions and everything for the peninsula, mm-hmm. there is a homeowners association. And as you know, with lots of developments, the developer retains control over that for a certain period of time. And that is the case at Peninsula. The organization that Mr. G represents actually are the owners, but it's not the formal association. It's a group that's made up of just the owners,
right,
without any developer control. I just wanted to make sure you understood that.
Well, let me ask you a question. In the absence of a developer, I had said something just a few minutes ago that may not be true. I just wanted to ask you or our counsel, is the bank in the shoes of the developer for those purposes now? Are they essentially, it's their baby, is that right?
To answer your question, yes. But yeah. One of the reasons this has taken so long, one of the issues that was involved in the litigation was, in the foreclosure, did the lender acquire the declarant's rights, the developer's rights, because it had legal significance under the documents.
It does. And what was the decision?
The decision was they did.
But they do.
Yes.
Okay.
So they're in the developer's shoes.
I would think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because they can pass that on to a developer. Okay.
And
that's actually confirmed in the deed as well,
yeah.
The sheriff's
yes.
deed.
Yes. Yeah, there's actually a separate deed.
And I have another question that I think maybe the Wells Fargo folks might be better answering, and it is, is Wells Fargo under any regulatory prohibition for financing this new developer? Can you, in fact, provide the financing for this for a new developer? Or do they have to finance with somebody else?
Identify yourself.
My name is Daniel Bartok. I'm an executive vice president for Wells Fargo. And my responsibility is all of the owned real estate that we take back around the country.
Oh, nice.
So this is just one of the projects. Just kind of give a little overview. We've unfortunately had dozens of large projects like this that we've taken in as ownership and dealt with over the years. And have generally successfully found developers and run what we think is a pretty tight process of identifying the right people that have the right vision for the project as well. And that's what we intend to do here. There is no prohibition against us providing financing to a potential developer. There are certain rules of how we account for things. There are certain internal guidelines of what that financing would look like and how that gets underwritten. But to answer your specific question, no, there's no prohibition.
Okay, thank you. And I have no doubt that you want to resolve this as quickly and amicably and equitably as you possibly can. I empathize with you and your position, and just would encourage you to continue to do that. It appears that there's some good cooperation here. So
yeah, I think very much so. Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Bartok, if I can ask you a question, is that okay, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
We've had some discussion about whether this letter of credit is adequate or not. And I guess I'm wondering if a consideration for extension included increasing the letter of credit to something that was more in the range of the numbers we're discussing. What's your response to that?
Well, my first response is that in addition to the letter of credit that's up, there is a $3 million escrow now, and every time a home closes, additional funds go into that escrow, which is earmarked for construction of a facility.
and you have that? You have that?
Well, one? An independent trustee holds that.
Okay. All right.
And just to give you my own opinion, any security that the county has up for this is really more of a penalty for not obliging. It really isn't insuring any type of construction of the facility, because there is no facility design and there's really no cost estimates. You know, one of the things that we worked with the homeowners on through this whole process is, you know, allowing the potential buyers to come in and give a presentation of what they think is the right vision for this project going forward. Picking a clubhouse that maybe was conceived at the heyday, and, you know, when everybody couldn't make mistakes and everything bigger was better.
Back when you guys lent all this money for this thing, right. In other words, yeah. Okay.
You know, vision may not be the right vision
what
today.
What were you thinking?
I'm glad I'm not on the lending side, let me tell you that.
Go ahead.
You know, so the real question
I have a little knowledge of your industry, I'll put it to you that way.
So the real question to me is, what is the right vision that aligns with the homeowners, taking operating costs and dues into consideration? What is the real definition of a clubhouse? Is it an amenity package? Is it something that gets phased in from here over time? And I think allowing for those visions to be heard and kind of aligned with the homeowners is the right way to do this. It's our goal to, when that happens, is to ensure that protection is put in place, and whether it's the existing escrow gets expanded or a separate escrow gets set up, so that those funds are set aside to see that vision through. I could tell you that I know the homeowners have taken a beating, but so has Wells Fargo in this whole transaction. And, you know, we don't intend to see that happen again.
Chairman. Sure. Yeah, Mr.
If I could, where did that $3 million come from?
That is deposits that have been made from the sale of membership interests. I believe there's also some money that was found at the time when the receiver got in place that was in other accounts that was deposited into that account.
But that is outside of Wells Fargo's control.
Correct. It's a separate trustee that controls that fund.
And it is earmarked
for construction. It doesn't get released until the clubhouse is complete.
Okay. And then is there still money going in there?
Every time a new home is sold and a member signs on, that membership fee is put into that escrow. So it grows every day. Well, every month anyway.
Okay.
I wish they were selling one a day.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yeah. I think Mr. Fukui talked about it a little bit, but what is your anticipated time frame for getting to closing? I realize that's a little bit of a...
Well, we've just begun the marketing process. If I use other transactions like this as a guideline, we think that we'll be closed by the end of the calendar year.
But somebody new will be in place by January 1, potentially?
Yeah, that's okay. The intent, and that, you know, then they have some time to finish their plans and get in place. So we think that the October date is a reasonable date to get started.
Okay, thank
Any
you, sir.
Any questions of me?
I think we're good for now. Thank you.
Can I ask a question to Mr. Fuqua?
Yes, you may, of course.
And this is just, again, for the sake of the record. We've heard from the homeowners, as I think you pointed out, and I understand or represent the homeowners, but the actual official homeowners association still has the bank as the controlling member of that. But I don't think you ever said that the official homeowners association, their position on all this is, and just so we have that in the record. I assume they support it. But if you could just state that for the record.
Yes, since Redis now basically is the developer, and
right.
Since they controlled the formal homeowners association, they also joined the informal homeowners association and the bank in supporting our request.
Yeah. So we have that all the associations support, and it's clear in that. Thanks, Mr. Cooper.
All right, then. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? This is a... unusual matter, to say the least. So I'm also going to ask if there's anyone who would just like to ask a question or anything. You're welcome to come up and ask a question too. Who's here with an interest in this project, by the way? Okay, great, good. I was thinking that's why you were here, but we never know for sure. If anyone has a question, you're welcome to come up and ask if you like. Otherwise, we're going to close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. And we thank you for coming.